You are listening to Charmed City, a podcast about interesting people doing interesting things in and around Baltimore. We are here today with Travis Marshall. He's a Baltimore-based photographer who I know personally from his involvement within the Baltimore comedy scene. Travis, how are you doing today, dude?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
You know, just podcasting with you. I'm pretty excited to have you on. Thanks for coming. I know that you have a photo shoot in a little bit. Who are you shooting today?
Today I'm going to be shooting Olga. They're a stand-up slash improv-ish group. They're very funny. I don't know what to call them, but they're very funny. They do a lot of shows in the area. They're really good. I'm shooting some promo stuff for them, some headshots. Should be good.
That's awesome. That's great. You are kind of like the unofficial Baltimore comedy photographer. How did that happen? Like,
So that's a good question. I didn't really feel that way until the last Baltimore Comedy Festival. I actually got my name on the shirt.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm the only person whose name is on the shirt that is not a comic. But that was just because I was sitting next to Eric as he was making it. I was just like, put my name on there. And he's like, all right. So a couple years ago, I was like, I've been shooting for, I think, probably 7 years now or something like that. And about 3 years in, I was like talking to one of my mentor, Mike Morgan, very good photographer. And I was just like, I think I want to take like funny pictures of stuff. Like, I don't know what that means. And then I was like, I don't know, like who I could photograph that like I could take funny pictures of. And he's just like, well, you should go to Baltimore. You should see if there's any stand-up comics anywhere. Like, it's probably like, there's probably a couple people who have like a stand-up club and they'll let you do whatever they want. They need headshots. They'll let you take funny pictures. I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I went on Facebook and just kind of like Googled comics in the area. I think I found the Sidebar group, which was like really helpful. And then I was just like, hey, I'm a photographer. I want to kind of take like these funny pictures. I have a couple ideas. Is anybody interested? And then I got like this really good response from a bunch of people. I think the first people I photographed, John Stonebreaker was first, and then Mark Miller, I think, was second. He moved to New York, and then Josh Coderno was one, Mike Moran was one, Ivan Martin, and then just through those people alone, I kind of just kept like networking with more and more people and just kind of fell in love with the scene because I've always really liked stand-up. And then I just kind of got so involved with it, and I just got really close with so many comics, so that I just kept coming back and back to shows and stuff like that. And then I just started doing headshots of everybody, and then I just kind of became the guy. And there wasn't really anybody taking pictures of it before, so it was like an easy space to fill.
Yeah, it's super interesting how involved you are in the community, because you're like a staple of the community without ever really getting on stage. Like,
yeah, I've never done stand-up. There's some people who will swear that I have, and that that they have photographic evidence of me doing so, but the evidence has never been shown because it doesn't exist. I've never done it. I've never been on stage, and I don't have any plans to.
So you said that you were doing photo for about 7 years. You were taking, you know, whatever pictures prior to like starting to do more like comedic pictures. And you said to go into Baltimore. Where were you taking pictures prior to, you know, being involved in Baltimore City?
At that point, I was still young. I was probably like 20. It was just mainly like pictures of my friends. I would do some like promo stuff for bands. It was just kind of like I was just taking pictures of whoever I could take pictures of, really. And then a lot of the bands never really wanted anything creative. They definitely didn't want anything funny. And that's kind of like, I think what led me to, like the comedy scene was just, I wasn't satisfied with like the work I was making and like the clientele I had. And I just felt like I needed somebody who would like appreciate what I wanted to do more. And the comedy scene was just perfect for that.
Yeah. I mean, you have a very unique style. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you like, could you classify it? But like, do you have something that you would say for that?
It's definitely like they call it whimsical is what it is. It's probably whimsical, like maybe editorial style, whimsical, editorial, commercial. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. It is very bright and colorful.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to keep the primary colors in, and I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
I also think that has something to do, because I'm very colorblind. So, I just feel like those colors are way more like appealing to me because I can see them, you know what I mean? But like a lot more like neutral tones. It's like they don't do much for me.
That's super interesting. I didn't know you were colorblind.
I'm very colorblind. Yeah. I don't see like in black and white or anything, but reds and greens get kind of blended together sometimes. Green is gray. Gray is green sometimes. It's a little confusing. Skin tones get really mixed up, which is kind of ironic.
And do you think that has like helped your photography? or hurt, or like it's just,
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because obviously I've never not been colorblind, right. So it's like I don't really know what path I would have went down otherwise. I will say it has made retouching a little harder because of skin tones, but I've workarounds for that.
Yeah.
Where? Yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's crazy. have you ever done any other form of like artistic thing or like how? Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people do photo or like get into photo after they've like tried other things. I don't know if that's your case or was it always all photo?
No, I never did. Like growing up, I mean, of course, I like doodle and stuff, but right. Like never. I wouldn't even ever like say I really drew or anything like that. I never was really into painting. I did like whatever high school, middle school, like yeah. art projects I was supposed to do, but I never really had a drive to do anything creative. Growing up, I just played video games every day, and then I got into skateboarding for a little bit, but that's, I mean, it's an art, but it's not, like, as creative of an art, I feel like. It's more, like, sporty, almost. But, yeah, something about photography, I just really liked it, like, the technical aspects of it, and lighting. Lighting was really fun.
I think skate culture and photo culture also overlap a lot of the time.
I mean, they can. I wouldn't say the type of photography I do really overlaps, but right. they're like maybe more photojournalistic-y type of stuff can. But I mean, that's kind of what's cool about photography is it can really overlap with any kind of culture that's because true. You can document anything. You know yeah. what I mean? Like there's a place for photography in any kind of scene or culture or stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I never would have pictured somebody being like a Baltimore comedy photographer.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah.
When I tell people that, they're just kind of like, oh, there's comedy in Baltimore? And I'm like, yes, there is. There's a lot of it. Come yeah. out.
So you were talking about getting into it about 7 years ago or so.
I think it was like the senior year of high school for me. So that was 2012, I guess. So, yeah, that's what I would say I kind of started.
And at that point you were kind of just doing it as a hobby, right?
Yeah, it was very much a hobby. And I was at first photographing skateboarding. That's like what got me into it was I wanted to do skateboarding video. And then I got like a DSLR and I was like, well, now I can do photo and video. And then I just stuck with photo and just never did video again. I mean, I recently started doing video, but at that point I had no desire because I loved photo so much. I thought it was so gratifying. And then, yeah.
And so at that point, is that when you kind of like fell in love with like the photography stuff?
I'd say so. It was pretty like sudden for me. Like even before I had the DSLR, I had this like shitty point and shoot that I had from like when I was a kid that I would just used to like photograph my cat with. And I would just take that and try to just photograph like as many things as I could. I would go on photo forums and just learn all kind of stuff. And like before I even had the DSLR, like I already knew all like how to use it basically because I've read the manual so many damn times.
Oh,
like because
wow.
I was just like, I know I'm gonna get this camera, like I want to know how to use it before I get it. And yeah, I was like super obsessed with it.
And so at what point were you like, I want to do this as my career?
So probably about 2 years after graduating high school, I was just working like shitty retail jobs. I think I was working at Target at the time, and then I was just like, all right, I don't want to keep working at Target. I need to do something with this. I really don't want to do weddings. I don't want to do any kind of like family or engagement or like retail, anything. So I was just like, what kind of photography is there? Like, what could I photograph? Because I don't really want to do sports or anything either. So I just kind of like Googled like types of photography. And then I found commercial photography, which is like sort of close to what I do. And then photographing like for businesses and maybe advertising and stuff like that. And I was like, that sounds fun. Like, I would love that. So I literally Googled commercial photographers in the area, and that's where Mike Morgan, my mentor, popped up number one, and just sent him an email, hey, can I buy you breakfast or lunch and just kind of like talk about the industry and like tell me how you got to where they were, because like I would like to do this as a career. And then we did, and then I ended up assisting for him and stuff like that. So I think that was probably around the point was once I discovered there was careers in it that weren't just weddings.
Right. It's cool that you are you're essentially like you're your own business, right? So
yes.
How do you go about finding clients and like finding work? Obviously the Baltimore comedy scene is one way, but like outside of that community, how are you finding jobs and whatnot?
So I am the worst marketer. I've done really poor marketing campaigns that I know like got me zero work, because looking back, they were just like the worst things ever. It was just like a bunch of random images on like postcards just sent to like the most random people who probably didn't even hire photographers. And then, so I don't get stuff that way. It's mainly just kind of being the right place, right time, and just being available is my biggest thing. So I just shot the top dentist story for Baltimore Magazine, and I think it was because I was assisting on a shoot for Baltimore Magazine, and then I talked to the art director, who I've known for years, and I think just me being on that shoot at that time, like, kind of reminded her that I existed, and then she, like, checked out my Instagram, like, on the thing, and then 2 weeks later, she's like, hey, could you shoot this? And yeah, it's all just right place, right time for me, really.
That's awesome.
And that's the same for the comedy. It's just that's kind of how I started getting a lot of work, because I was just around and photographing it. So people realized I could do headshots and all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it worked, yeah.
And do you find that when you're doing these, when you're doing the like the businesses, they kind of know what they want and they tell you what they want? Or do you have to kind of come in with your own artistic perspective of what to do?
So it can definitely go both ways. For me, more often than not, it's somebody who's kind of just like, I want you to come in and do what you do. Because I obviously have like the very whimsical, like silly style. So somebody often is just, like, even with the comedians, most of the times they're just like, I want something kind of funny. Like, what do you got? Like, I have this general idea. Like, can we kind of take this somewhere? And then I'll go somewhere with that. But it's very rare somebody's like, this is exactly what I want to do. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. You know what I mean? And even then, I might not even take the job if it's too, if it's not something I would do. You know what I mean?
So with the like comedy, like I went through your website, your Instagram. I looked at a bunch of stuff and there's some really funny concepts on there. Is it like, how collaborative is it? Or is it like, hey, I think this would work.
Right. It's a little case by case, but more often than not, I have just like a book of ideas, just random things. Mm-hmm. It's often like I find myself like doing something kind of weird and I'm like, this would be a funny portrait, you know? Yeah, most of them are just like weird ideas I come up with. Occasionally the person will say like, cause somebody else said like, hey, what's something like about you that I could kind of work off of? And then they'll tell like Josh Cadernas, he works in an office. So he's like, yeah, I work in an office, like, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, oh, so it'd be kind of funny to have a shot of you like working at like a nightmare like desk scene or something.
Or who was it? What's that guy? Amir.
Amir Yazdani sitting on the toilet?
Yeah, so with like the newspaper.
So that was actually his idea, I think. I'm pretty sure he came up with that 100%. He said he wanted to be sitting on the toilet reading like himself in the newspaper. I think that was all his idea. Like, of course, build the set for it and everything. Like, that was really fun because, like, so I guess I don't mind doing other people's ideas because then I still get to kind of, like, make it come to life. Because, like, in my friend's living room, we actually built, like, an entire, like just in the corner of the room was a little bathroom set. Bought a toilet and all kind of stuff and stuck it on there and then just got a newspaper. And, of course, that was, like, photoshopped on there.
So I want to bring it back to, like, kind of, like, Baltimore for a sec. How do you feel that, like, being in Baltimore has affected your creative process, your photography, what it is you're doing?
That's a really good question. I think I don't know that I would be taking funny pictures as seriously if I lived somewhere else, because in Baltimore there's kind of like a deficit of that. Like everybody, especially in the commercial photography field, shoots what they call like institutional, which is mm-hmm. just kind of like happy white kids at Hopkins or happy diverse kids, I should say. And because that's kind of like what the market is in this town is it's just like there's Hopkins, there's all the colleges. So the work is a lot more serious, I think. So I almost feel like the lack of that being there really helped my career because I kind of have my own like niche in a way.
Right.
I mean, there is a couple of people who shoot like whimsical stuff. It's a little different than mine. But and then also, Baltimore is just a weird town. So they kind of accept shit like that. So I feel like in DC, they probably, especially like the comedy scene alone, they might not have been as willing to accept just some random person coming around taking pictures. You know what I mean? But in Baltimore, it's like such a small scene that like full of weirdos that like if another weirdo comes in, they're way more willing to accept them.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely a unique place.
Also, it's super cheap to live here, which is very helpful because low overhead is name of the game.
And especially with, you know, something like photography, which is a pretty expensive business, or for the majority of people who are doing it, it's more like a hobby. But I mean, it's awesome that you were able to turn something that was a hobby into a full on profession. But again, like,
right,
the equipment's expensive.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the stuff is expensive, but yeah.
Is there anything that you're currently like working on or any projects that you're doing that you would want somebody to know about or something that, you know, is especially interesting to you right now?
So the comedians thing was supposed to technically be a project that would have been finished at some point. But as we've said before, I kind of just like fell into the scene and now it's just like my everything. So I guess I'm technically still working on that. I still have like shoots with comics planned, like just whimsical little silly pictures. Yeah, so I guess I am technically working on that project still, and I probably always will be.
Yeah, just an ongoing.
It's just an ongoing project. There's a funny quote that artistic projects are never finished. They're just abandoned. So, and I kind of feel that about this one. It's like, I feel like if I stop it, it's like, it's not because I want to. It's just because like, I'm just like, it's like I'm leaving my baby or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just like you're putting it on pause rather than like.
Right.
Yeah.
I do have another project. Actually, this could be a good way to broadcast it. So I want to do another one. I don't know what to call it yet, but it would basically be people dressed as superheroes and just doing like mundane things. I looked it up. I don't think anybody's done it before. If they have, let me know. So an example would be like Superman, like folding his laundry in like a laundromat or something, or
that
like Batman,
really
like mowing his lawn or something. But like the hard part is like finding people with these costumes. Like, but the, I think the way I want to do it, like aesthetically, is I want people to, or I want the hero to actually look like realistic enough where it's like, it's a good costume. I don't want like some overweight dude in like a shitty Superman, like Walmart Superman outfit.
Right.
You know, I want it to be like the like real cosplayed person who like, this is their thing. Like they made the best suit ever.
Okay.
And it's like, and they're like some ripped like 30-year-old dude or whatever. You know what I mean?
All right. What was the craziest shoot you ever did?
I feel like there's definitely one crazier than this, but I'll just talk about this one because it's really funny. So me and Mark Miller, who I said moved to New York, the concept was him sitting on a toilet, pants dropped and everything, like reading a book. And it's so funny. I have like two shoots about toilets and that we're talking about both of them. And we wanted to do it in the middle of Fells Point. So this was before they just like built that new plaza or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, it's the same location, same idea. So we just literally went to a place, bought a toilet. And then I met him there. We set it up right in the middle. He dropped his pants and just kind of...
Wow.
Oh, well, he had like another pair of underwear on, so you technically couldn't see anything. But and then it's just reading in the middle of Fells Point, like in the middle of the day. And people are just walking by, like just kind of like, what the fuck is going on over here? And then only like a cop was across the street. I was so afraid the cop was going to come over and like shut it down because I had lights and stuff set up as well. And only one person walked up to us. It was just like some old dude. He's just like, y'all filming a movie?
Yeah.
We were like... Yeah, he's like, okay.
And, that was the whole interaction.
Right. He just walks away. He's just like, oh, whatever, Baltimore, you know, they're crazy. And the best part about the shoot was we had, there's like that one part of Fells Point, like the most southern tip of it, I guess, that like goes out into the water.
Right.
It's like almost, I guess it is a dock. And we were on like the very tip of that shooting, like an alternate angle. And Mark just starts laughing. And I was just like, what is it? And he's like, dude, they're shooting engagement photos right there and we are definitely in the background of it and they have no idea. So this poor photographer and like couple is gonna get home and see just this two weird men with a toilet in the background of their photos.
That's hilarious. I saw the shoot you did with Stavros. Is that how you say his name?
Oh yeah,
because
he was naked.
He was full on naked.
He was 100% naked.
And he just has like a basketball in front of him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing. He's got like a pretty big Instagram following at this point too.
I know he had a really big Instagram following and then they shut it down. He made another one. I don't know if that one got shut down. I feel like, or maybe he just quit. I feel like he hasn't posted recently. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's killing it in the comedy scene.
He's super funny.
But
that was his idea.
that was
100. I have like almost a thing against shooting people nude because it is what it is, but I'm just not interested in it. But when he wanted to do it, I was kind of like, all right, there's like a point. Like there's a reason. Like
for those who don't know who he is, he was a Baltimore comic. He moved up to New York City. He runs the Cumtown podcast, and he is a fairly overweight gentleman who likes to take photos almost like an Instagram model, but like full on naked with just things covering his genitalia. And
I think his Instagram is It's Stavi Baby,
something like that. And he's funny as hell. But so kind of in a similar boat, but like a little bit, has there been any like extremely meaningful shoots you've ever done or something that like you were doing and you were like, wow, this is incredible that I am having this opportunity to take these photos?
Maybe not. I thought photographing Jordan Rock was really cool. But I mean, he's just a regular guy. We're all just regular guys.
Right.
That was fun.
And that is something that's fun to hear, because like you get to see people in a whole different way, because you get to see them like from a creative standpoint, but then you're also like, I'm taking photos of you, which is like almost like a vulnerable place to be.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. It's nobody likes having their picture taken, really. Nobody's sane anyway. And there is something to that where it's kind of just like I have the authority over them for that period of time. You know what I mean? It's just like a, guess, dominant thing most of the time. I mean, there definitely can be shoots where it's like the subject is in control, and then obviously don't like shoots like that, but
yeah,
it can happen. But yeah, there is like just a weird, it's like you have to just trust me for this, like this hour or whatever, like you have to trust that I'm gonna make you look good, you know? Yeah. What I mean, and it's hard for some people to accept that.
Yeah. In terms of like scenery, is there like any areas of Baltimore that you, I know you do a lot of stuff indoors because mm-hmm. obviously the nature of it, you do a lot of portraits, but are there any outdoor spaces or anywhere in the city that you like really like taking pictures of or in?
There is on Charles Street, there's this plaza. It's like, it's really, it's downtown. It's like this big plaza on Charles Street. There's like a big black marble plaza. I find myself there like more often than not, just because it's like really big, open, pretty. It almost doesn't look like Baltimore. It kind of looks like maybe New York City or something. Yeah, something, I definitely like the more urban parts of Baltimore, like the more downtown. It sounds bad, but it's like almost the parts that don't look like Baltimore. I could definitely say I avoid a lot of the like gritty, grungy places. I don't like that kind of look for my style very much. Like, I've obviously shot in Fells Point before. I just talked about it, but this kind of places I would normally avoid, any of the like Fells Point, Fed Hill. Even Hamden is kind of like, meh.
Well, I think it's interesting that you're pointing that out, that like the areas that almost don't look like Baltimore. I think that's something that is really cool about the city, is that like you can walk any direction for like 5 to 10 minutes and you feel a different vibe anywhere you go.
Like, yes, exactly. It's like I was saying, I live in Roland Park and it almost feels like you're in like Washington State or something. Like,
it's super pretty up there.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like you're in Baltimore, but you can hop on 83 and be downtown in like 4 minutes. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what's so great about Baltimore, is there's just so many different like little pockets of weird architecture and whatever else.
Just like weird creativity and weird music and weird it's just like a...
Yeah, Baltimore is just strange. Yeah. It's just, there's so much weird shit going on here. I think it's the art school's fault. It's all because Micah's breeding this weirdness.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, from it, there's been so much awesome, like so many creative, cool little scenes that pop up here and there. I feel like the comedy scene is kind of like, now, I mean, it always is, but like right now it's in this like really cool, unique space. But then if you look at like past stuff like Wham City and like,
right,
you know, these like creative collectives that pop up, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the comedy scene now, since, because I've been in the comedy scene for probably 3 years now, I think it has definitely like probably tripled, I think, and just, it's just so good now. There's so many comics, there's so many good comics, there's so many shows, there's so much diversity. I feel like when I first started coming around, there was like 4 women or something, you know what I mean? Like, there was like the 4 women that would like do comedy, but now it's just like there's so many women comedy, there's like people of all different shapes, sizes, colors doing comedy. It's really great, and there's just rooms everywhere in like every part of the city. Before, it was kind of just like the like sidebar, and then Zizima is like, and that was kind of the 2 big ones, and now every part of the city has its own show. And like, you run one in Fed, obviously, which is really great, because most of the time they don't get as far down south.
I'm super intrigued by you, because you were able to find a way to, you know, have a passion for comedy and a passion for photography, and, you know, find the cross section of those two things within a community that like wasn't large, but you've become a staple of. That's pretty unique.
Yeah, I'm very happy it worked out that way. But again, it's just because Baltimore is so like super accepting, and I think there's just so many people coming in and out that like when new people come, it's like, yeah, what's up, dude? Like, there's no like barrier to get in or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I met you pretty early on, but you were kind of like you had pink hair at the time. So I'm just gonna go meet the pink hair guy who shoots photos. So I guess one question that I like to ask is, you know, if somebody wanted to start doing photography today, like, what piece of advice might you give them?
Don't go to art school.
Wow, okay.
Go to business school if you need to go to some kind of school. Otherwise, I would heavily recommend going on YouTube and just looking up everything. Learn how a camera works, first of all. I get so angry at so many photographers who literally just have no idea how a camera works. there's people I've worked for who are like professional photographers, like making way more money than I do, who literally just don't know how cameras work. And it's just insane. Like, there's only so many things a camera can do. It's pretty easy to learn. Like, read the fucking manual. Like, just learn, like, how to expose a photo. Learn, like, what a camera does, how it captures the light, how doing this changes the light, you know what I mean? Do that, learn lighting. You'll be fine. If you know how a camera works and you know how to light, you can literally shoot anything you've ever wanted.
And is there anything that you wish you knew when you first started out that you, like, know today that, like, you know, you wish you knew back when you first started?
I don't know. There's definitely like stuff I learned that was just like, fuck, I wish I would have known that sooner. But I also think me not knowing things and just making the same mistake for a long time was good. I'm trying to think. There's definitely stuff I wish I would have known. I guess not. Don't be an asshole. When I first started, I was so like arrogant and just kind of like, because I learned things pretty quickly and I was just kind of like, oh no, I'm better than all the other people who've been doing it for so, like, fuck you guys. But it's just like, there's no need for that. Just be nice.
And so was there like a humbling moment where you were like, oh, I don't need to be a dickhead?
I wouldn't say it was a moment. I think it was just like just happened every time. I was just like, why am I being so fucking aggro about this? Like, this is fun. Like, people are just having fun. That's the other thing is like, even if people don't want to learn how to use a camera and don't want to learn, you know what I mean? It's just like, whatever. As long as people are having fun with it, like, kind of let them do whatever they want. Also, I will say to people who are just starting, don't use photography to fuck women, you creepy people. Because, I don't know, there's this dude, Adam Chin. He was, like, a big, like, Instagram photographer. And there was, like, a big Me Too against him about how he would just, like, contact women. And he's like, yeah, I normally charge for shoots, but for you, I think I could cut you a deal. And, like, maybe we'll get dinner before. And there's, like, I know photographers like this. And it's just like, dude, you're making it harder for the fucking rest of us who just want to take, like, crazy pictures. You know what I mean? Like, just want to take cool pictures. Like, stop using photography as a way to fuck women.
I mean, it's good that he was, you know, people were coming out against him if, like, that was...
Yeah, finally, after, like, this dude's been around for, like, 10 years. And, it, I don't know what sparked it, but, like, now all these girls are coming out with just, like, screenshots and, like, just it's terrible.
Yeah.
Leave women alone. Just that's my advice. Just leave women alone. Just leave them alone.
So for all beginning photographers, the biggest piece of advice to take away is just leave women alone.
Leave them alone. If you want to take a cool picture of a woman, do it. But just... If you want to be friends with them, do it. But, like, I don't know. I mean, like, definitely a relationship could definitely spark from, like, a photo shoot. Like, that's natural. But, like, that shouldn't be, like, your thing where it's just like, oh, there's this hot girl. I'm gonna photograph her and then take her out to dinner. And then
You know what I mean? Weird.
It's like, you fucking creep. Like,
you've literally got, you've done, like, everybody's headshots. It's crazy. I'm just, like, thinking about all the pictures.
Yeah, so it's funny. Somebody, like, obviously everybody doesn't go to me for headshots. That's fine. I don't fucking care. But, another comic was, like, getting their headshots done, and then, like, they just mentioned, like, yeah, I'm getting some headshots on Saturday, and then, like, I think it was Michael was just like, hey, Travis, I heard you're doing this person's headshots, and I was like, no. He's like, oh, he said he was getting headshots. I figured it was you, but whatever. I was just like, nope, not me. I'm just, like, the default. Like,
everybody just assumes.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of what you do is, like we were talking about, you do a lot of portraits. You do a lot of, you know, Baltimore comics, and you do, and we were talking about, like, the whimsical, the colorful. How do you get, like, where are you taking these pictures? It's mostly indoors with, like, a screen. I'm curious about, like, the technical and, like, the creative process of, like the how it actually comes to be.
Well, it depends on the concept. If it's, like, a headshot against a backdrop, then it's just, I find a space where it will fit. Typically, it's, like, the person's living room. I've been doing a lot of shoots at Zizimo's, which is where I'm shooting today, because they're nice enough to let me shoot there. And then for that, it's just set up like a colored backdrop. It's just like a big piece of paper that's colored. And then I'll set up the lights. I'll typically test it before they get there and then set them in front of it, do my magic and shoot it. If it's like, any kind of concept, I always think of there's a fun, like, I think it's Bill Gates quote where it's like, always hire the laziest person to do the hardest job because they'll find the easiest way to do it. And that's definitely, like, my motto is just, like, what's the easiest, like, cheapest way we could do these things that, like, it'll still have, like, a high production value look, you know what I mean? So I wish I could think of an example, but typically it's like, I'll have an idea, then I'm like, all right, where does this need to be? And then, of course, there's always, like, the crazy one where it's like, it'd be really cool if I could do it here, but it's just like, that's not gonna happen. So you think of like, okay, what's, like, a modest place I could do this at? Like, what kind of places are, what place can I just go to and start shooting and nobody will care? What place can I get permission to shoot in and, like, nobody will care? Like, what place could, like, is there any, like, Airbnb that would look like this place? And then once I'm in there, it's just like, okay, what do I need for this? Do I need props? Like, et cetera, et cetera. And then typically I just buy a bunch of shit and then return it after the shoot. And it's free that way.
So what, like, as somebody running your own business, as somebody, you know, grinding and finding your own work, what's like a typical day to day look like for you?
Well, like I said, I don't do marketing. So if I'm not working, I'm kind of just thinking about projects, thinking about, typically it's the comedian's projects. So I'm like thinking of like, what funny thing could I shoot somebody doing? Who haven't I shot? Like, that would be fun. And then I'm just kind of doing stuff. You know what I mean? I spend a lot of time not thinking about the business, probably not as much time as I should anyway. But I mean, lately I've been working every day. So it's just,
that's awesome.
Yeah. That's like the, when people hear that people freelance or that they have their own business, they're like, oh cool, you're your own boss, you can make your own hours, you work whatever you want, which is like
not the
literally
case.
The exact opposite. Like people who have regular jobs almost have more freedom than I do, because like today I'm not off so like Monday I don't have any jobs lined up, so it's like, yeah, I don't have to do anything that day technically. But if somebody called me like Sunday night and was like, hey, I have a job tomorrow, it's like I kind of have to do it. You know what I mean? Otherwise, yeah, I don't get that money. And there's like, I can't call out. And if I do have a job, I can't call out sick. Like, you know what I mean? There's just nothing you could do. And on a regular job, if you call out sick, it's like whatever, you go the next day. But on mine, like say somebody wants a headshot, or even if it's like assisting or retouching or something, and they're like, hey, we need this, can you do it? And I say no, I'm not really just saying no to that, I'm saying no to that, and then they'll probably find somebody else, and then next time they need somebody, they'll hire that person again. So it's like I'm almost losing like a lifetime of work if I call out once. That's you know crazy. What I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Which is fine. I think it's fine. I don't really mind. I never get sick, so it's like whatever.
What's the... I need to learn how you never get sick, but what's the... like? How much are you putting into the actual photos versus the editing process? Like in terms of like, is it like a 50-50 where it's like the photo and the editing are equally, you know, taking?
Right. That's definitely a case by case. It definitely depends on the concept. Going back to being cheap, that's always like in my mind, it's just like, would it be cheaper or easier to like take the background out and just put them somewhere else? Like, would it look right? Is that an easy thing to do? Is there photos online that I could like stock photos I could buy to replace the background that look good? Or it's all just about what's easier. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like, what look do I want? Like, do I want it to look super clean? Do I want it to look cluttered? Like, how much do I need to get rid of? Most of it, I feel like when I first started, I was a lot more like retouching heavy. Like I would just kind of almost shoot things that I wanted to retouch just mm-hmm. to kind of just to do it. Because that was like the look. But as of lately, it's a lot more organic and done in camera. Of course, I always do like the skin retouching and stuff like that. Like that's just my look. That's just the way it looks. But nowadays, I don't do as much if I don't have to. It always looks better to do it in camera if possible. Right. But yeah, so it's just case by case. But typically, I'll try to not spend too much time on the computer retouching it. I used to love it. I used to just like, that's what I wanted to do, was just spend hours behind the computer like making some image. But now I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Right. I want to spend as little time on the computer as possible.
So do you do any like graphic design with it, or like have any like, I'm just curious, I don't know if that's
I guess technically there is some graphic design to it, even though I wouldn't call it that. I call it retouching. But I do, that's one of the other things I do. I do retouching professionally. Like I've retouched like stuff that is on the shelf at Costco right now and stuff like that. Just because it's easy, you can sit at home in your underwear and do it. And it's I do enjoy it. It's fun. But that's definitely one of those things where somebody's just like, hey, can you do this for me? And I'm kind of like, you don't know how to do that? Okay. It's like, didn't you go to school for graphic design? And you, okay. It's just like, fine, whatever. I'll send you the invoice. Like, whatever you want. So I don't do any graphic design. I do retouching.
Okay.
So there is some photographers I have, I'll assist on their shoot, and then I come back home and they're like, oh, I need you to retouch this as well. So it's kind of nice. It's like I get like both ends of the pot of the money. Is that an expression? Both ends of the pot? Pots only have one end, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only seen pots with one end, but I don't know.
Can we bring some pots in?
I have some in my kitchen. I'll check that out. So are there any shoots that you are particularly proud of that you want, you know, people to look out for? Or
Definitely the one I just did with Eric.
Eric, okay.
Yeah, Eric DeDorian. We shot him in his apartment. It was nothing too crazy. It was pretty tame, but it was just kind of photos I think embodied him very well. And like, I showed this to one of my, like, photo peers, and she was just like, that is your, like, she's like, this is very Travis Marshall. This is, like, a very Travis Marshall picture, and I, like, 100% agreed with it. It's just, like, that's, like, the exact look I want.
It, I've seen those. Those almost look like that, like, black and white John Lennon picture, if you know
not that one. The other one. The ones that were colorful.
Oh, okay.
The other ones are fine, too, but...
You're talking about the colorful ones?
It was, like, the ones where he's holding, like, a basketball. There's one of him, like, fucking sitting on a toilet. People are gonna be like, this guy's a fucking creep. He says, don't go after women, but he just photographed three men sitting on toilet. yeah, those, I think, are just... That's, like, the look I'm going for. Like,
it's people sitting on toilets.
People sitting... Yeah, exactly.
I have a bathroom if you want to take some pictures.
My camera's in the car. I'll go get it.
Okay, so look out for the pictures.
It's
of the
on my, it's everywhere. It's on my Instagram. Yeah. I think it's on my website already.
So where can people find you and follow you?
Fuck, I don't even know my usernames. I think my Instagram is _MarshallTravis, and then my website is MarshallTravis.com, which is my name flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I be.
That's where you
I beat
be.
This. I have Twitter too, but I don't fucking use that. I don't know. Just look me up on Facebook, Travis Marshall. Go to the website. Whatever.
Also, yeah, I mean your Instagram's very like I feel like your Instagram's almost more active than your website most of the time, right?
Yeah, I mean I don't update my website.
It's also so much easier to just do it on
exactly,
Instagram.
Exactly.
Exactly. Sure. Do you find people contact you through like Instagram often?
100%. I would say probably like.
That has to be a shift in the past couple years, though, right? Like, I mean, I guess Instagram's been around.
No, because when I first started, Instagram was still hopping. I've definitely gotten more followers since then, but I think Facebook is probably, like, 60% of the work I get as far as, like, shooting, not retouching or assisting. And then Instagram I get a little bit, but Facebook is, like, the big one.
Okay.
Because that's where, like, all the comics are. So
do you have, like, a Facebook page, or is it just your like, friend request you?
I do have a Facebook page, but because of the algorithm... In my experience, like, and this is a recent thing. Within the last, like, probably 2 years, they made it basically, if you have a Facebook page and you post on it, nobody's going to see it unless you pay them money. You know what I mean? So it's way better for me to post as myself, just as regular Travis Marshall, not, like, from the page, because then it shows it to everybody. Like, look what your friend did, even though it's, like, technically the business.
Right.
So, like, if I post something on my page... I'll get like 2 likes. If I post it on like personal, I could get like 100. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's obvious that less people are seeing it on the page. So I do have a page. I don't update it because nobody fucking sees it. But yeah, Facebook is just the best because since I'm kind of friends with most of the people I shoot
for,
it's just, that's where everybody is. Like I have these like, yeah.
No, it's funny. I was talking about this with Michael Furr during our last, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or not, but we were like, it's funny how you can be friends with somebody for a year and only communicate with them on Facebook in terms of like the comedy community. Like we all communicate via Facebook. I didn't have Michael's number, but I've been friends with him for over a year at this point. Like,
I don't even think I have his number. He's probably one of my best friends. I don't even have his number. No, he has that really funny joke where he's just like, when you hang out with a comic outside of comedy and you're just kind of like, so do you live in a house? And like, I love that joke of his. It's so funny because it's so true. It's like I didn't even know you lived here. Like in this beautiful place.
Yeah, we are sitting in my apartment here in beautiful Federal Hill.
Beautiful Federal Hill. But it's like you would never know. Like you could live in a goddamn like boathouse somewhere. Yeah, it's like I would never know. You know what I mean?
Well, that's where I lived before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you really moved up.
Yeah. I just lived in a kayak for a while.
Oh shit. You were really going for
it. Yeah, just, you know, bare bones.
No ceiling.
Travis, thanks so much for speaking with me today. I really do appreciate it, and good luck with your shoot this afternoon.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This was good.
All right. Thank you for listening to Charm City. If you are interested in being interviewed, or if you're a local business interested in sponsoring us, please reach out to charmcitypod@gmail.com.